Blog Talk Radio.
All on the air. Did we unplug the bass?
Ain't the asshole that threatens
kick so much butt, I get gas. Or maybe cause I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence. Cause my identity by itself causes violence for ease with the criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun in the badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here to rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror. And it's on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling off the 8, he'll be the one that I take out. And then get away while I'm driving off laughing. This is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Finds you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.
I'm called Professor X, the Overseer. In the early 1900s, a brother set out on voyage. His mission, black nationalism. His oath, freedom or death. In the 60s, brothers like Stokely Carmichael, H. Rap Brown, the mission, black nationalism. The oath, freedom or death. In the 90s, the mission, black nationalism. The messengers. X-Clan, the movement, Black Watch, the oath, freedom, or death. By the way,
freedom or death, you shall all be moved. Vanguard, this is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the key,
abracadabra. I'll a baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals labeled me as a logical, mythological. They couldn't comprehend when I brought the word. A stick called verb, a black steel nerve. Teaching those actors and actresses who write a couple lines on what black is. Really? Then they labeled me a sin. When a brother just speaks what's within. I guess I'm blacker in the shadow in the darkest alley that they're always scared to go in. Boo. I wear boots and beads, bags and braids. Stick and scroll, rings and shades. Walk in the light of the moon, but I've never been a Batman. African, call it black man. Brother, extract the African steps in your movement. Enhance for improvement. Grand funk, I knew a home for the phrase. Funk and lesson, the pathway.
Ready or not, yeah, we come. Getting down on the one with me.
About blackness, grits and cornbread, how can you act this? I exist on a plane, where the jar is my brain, I'm living to retreat cells, antenna my stick, picture bigger, native liquor, figure, the pull of the trigger goes doom, not boom, not a bunch of sticky, but saviors braver, the red, black, and green, it's just so much more than red, black, and green, you ask what I mean, but yet the sundown shades and lights of dream, watch too late, oops, upside your head, you drop through a bit like lead, where you going, what's your speed, what's your pleasure, what's your need, trees and branches, roots and seeds, forward, backward, many degrees, questions, answers, what's the sum, we have come,
out of the darkness in panther skin comes darkness, driving pink caddies, bearing the remedy to your existence, yes, it gets blacker, with a Nat Turner lick, Martin, Adam, Malcolm, Huey, there's a party at the crossroads.
the moment that is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pants in the bag and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slump, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and her mama in the cop car crying. And I'm done. Stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge. I'd rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a news feed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparations. Fuck a cowboy. I'm a native, robbed of a nation. I'm an African. Black man. Fuck out my language. Got me praying to a white boy. God, that's insane. And if you ask me why they steadily harass me, I reply with that these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge. I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution, let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the homies, they said to come through. And I run with the niggas, they scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye, take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as some others would do all to you. And all they say is make America great. What America hates, kept America straight and America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free, we wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me, and it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act, yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black, fucking soldiers. Super quick to steal one culture, trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came, but yet we're still outstanding. Outstanding in the rain, just waiting, pacing, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But nah, it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken thinking scripture could have helped us. Following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy, and they don't know shit about the history. They ain't teaching that in school. Leave it up to them coons. And all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our own. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house niggas, they see they motherfucking nuts cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos. If black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. Look, the only reason I survive, cause a nigga is special first. You get successful, then it gets stressful thirst. Niggas gon' test you, see what your texture's worth. Diamonds and pipes, one of them pressure burst. Street niggas, still I get checks and spurts. I'm for peace, but before I get pressed, I murk. Better days pray for, but expecting worse. At this level, bullshit, I'm just less concerned. Cruising in a six, looking at the proceeds of rap music on my wrist. Drop another mixtape, my shit booming out this bitch. Young Malcolm, I'm the leader of the movement out this bitch. Look, and this is what it feels like. Reach a level, make you question, is it real life? All the weed good, all the pussy real tight. In the only room, keep your dollar bills right. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like.
Scorpion bricks, way before Orbeez double disc, 40 on my lap, clap, sound like 40 did the mix, filtered bass, sip coat, like a Michelin star chef, chef, kiss to my wrist, I go dummy with my left, I arrest on my dick, try to audit all my checks, too late, you know they hate when you become more than they expect, you let them crack or storm your capital, put their feet up on your desk, and yeah, you talking tough to me, I lost all my little respect, I'm selling weed, in the open, bringing folks home from the feds, I know the payback gon' be mean, I'm saving all my little bread, pray for me y'all, one day I'ma have to pay for these thoughts, real niggas is extinct, it ain't safe for me, my dog, they killing niggas in they own hood, that makes sense to you at all, you burnt your bridge to the other side, you know you can't swim across, y'all know niggas can't swim, they fried Mike after he died, y'all know niggas can't win, you never land on your facade, I arrived on the day, Fred Hampton got murdered, hold up. assassinated, just to clarify further. What y'all gave birth to is the chairman mixed with Jeff Ford. Big step on the jet with my legs crossed. Black stones on my neck, y'all can't kill Christ. Black Messiah is what I feel like. Shit ain't gon' stop cause y'all spill blood. We gon' turn up even more since y'all killed
cubs. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like.
Young lady, right there.
Now, you're right, of course, the black people are in the West. They have had the worst treatment. But isn't it also possible that if the white people, the poor people, the people down in my neighborhood, the white people, those that don't work, those that are on welfare, those that have nothing, and they got together too, and you help us, we'll help you. You help us get up there. You help us get rid of some of these people that are pressing down on us.
No, I say you should be just as active in your neighborhood as we're trying as you have been in our neighborhood.
Before I get involved in anything nowadays, I have to straighten out my own position. And which is clear, I am not a racist in any form whatsoever. I don't believe in any form of racism. I don't believe in any form of discrimination or segregation. I believe in Islam. I'm a Muslim. And there's nothing wrong with being a Muslim. Nothing wrong with the religion of Islam. That just teaches us to believe in Allah as the God. And those of you who are Christians probably believe in the same God. Because I think you believe in the God who created the universe. And that's the one we believe in, the one who created the universe. The only difference being you call him God and we call him Allah. Jews call him Jehovah. If you could understand Hebrew, you'd probably call him Jehovah too. If you can understand Arabic, you'd probably call him Allah. But since the white man, your friend, took your language away from you during slavery, the only language you know is his language, you know, your friend's language. So you call him, you call for the same God he calls for. When he's putting a rope around your neck, you call for God, and he calls for God. And you wonder why the one you call on never answers you. So that once you realize that I believe in the supreme being who created the universe and believe in him as being one, I also have been taught in Islam that one God who only has one religion, and that religion is called Islam, and all of the prophets who came forth taught that religion. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, all of them. And by believing in one God and one religion and all of the prophets, it creates unity. There's no room for argument, no need for us to be arguing with each other. And also in that religion, the real religion of Islam. When I was in the Black Muslim movement, they didn't have the real religion of Islam in that movement. It was something else. And but the real religion of Islam doesn't teach anyone to judge another human being by the color of his skin. The yardstick that is used by the Muslim to measure another man is not the man's color, but the man's deeds, the man's conscious behavior, the man's intention. And when you use that as a standard of measurement or judgment, you never go wrong. But when you just judge a man because of the color of his skin, then you're committing a crime, because that's the worst kind of judgment. If you judged him just because he was a Jew, that's not as bad as judging him because he's black. Because a Jew can hide his religion. He can say he's something else, which a lot of them do that. They say they're something else. But the black man can't hide. When they start indicting us because of our color, that means we're indicted before we're born, which is the worst kind of crime that can be committed. And the Muslim religion has eliminated all tendencies to judge a man according to the color of his skin, but rather the judgment is based upon his deeds. And when prior to going to into the Muslim world, Elijah Muhammad had taught us that the white man could not enter into Mecca in Arabia, and all of us who followed him, we believed it. And he said the reason he couldn't enter was because he's white and inherently evil. It's impossible to change him. And the only thing that would change him is Islam, and he can't accept Islam because by nature he's evil. And therefore, by not being able to accept Islam and become a Muslim, he could never enter Mecca. And this is how he taught us. And, you know, and so when I got over there and went to Mecca and saw these people who blonde and blue-eyed and pale skin and all those things, I said, well, but I watched them closely, and I noticed that there was, though they were white, and they would call themselves white, there was a difference between them and the white one over here. And that basic difference was this. In Asia or the Arab world or in Africa, where the Muslims are, if you find one who says he's white, all he's doing is using an adjective to describe something that's incidental about him, one of his incidental characteristics. So there's nothing else to it. He's just white. But when you get the white man over here in America and he says he's white, he means something else. You can listen to the sound of his voice when he says he's white. He means he's boss. That's right. That's what white means in this language. You know the expression free, white, and 21. He made that up. He's letting you know all of them mean the same. White means free, boss. He's up there. So that when he says he's white, he has a little different sound in his voice. And I know you know what I'm talking about. This was what I saw was missing in the Muslim world. If they said they were white, it was incidental. White, black, brown, red, yellow. It doesn't make any difference what color you are. And so this was the religion that I had accepted and had gone there to get a better knowledge of it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون
You might wanna think it, cause you never know when it's over. Will you be standing when it's over? And to my wonder, what you gonna do when it's over? Will you be here for your child to have a shoulder?
You ain't nothing without them. If you're married, show her you love her. Put none before her. Yeah, we fuss and fight, but them my sisters and brothers. I got the game from my daddy. He taught me how to hustle. First time I ever served some time in jail was with my uncle. Damn.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People Tuesday night weekly broadcast at 7 p.m. Central. 8 p.m. Eastern with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host myself, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our engineers on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communication, Sister Amina. Calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, me, my, and I. The wrong move. my and I, the wrong move. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national Czech People's Political Party, Nat Turner. Black power, you who rule, and all power to the people, Conrad. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Black power, right on, brother. You rule, all power.
Power.
Yeah, you know, yeah. We just, you know, do another show. I want to welcome those who are listening. We consider this as a platform or vehicle, if you will, to politicize our people, political education from revolutionary standpoint. We are a revolutionary organization. We have a revolutionary state of mind. Simply means no more, no less than you know, the revolutionary transformation out of one condition into another condition. That condition in which we live collectively as black people, contrary to one of my comrades who said a long time ago, popular opinion, that black people got it going on. Contrary to that, that collectively black people still live in a decadent state of existence in the so-called country, in the so-called democracy, which is no less than a sham, window dressing, you know, for those who are easily led astray, for those who are easily beguiled, those who are easily manipulated, socially engineered, in believing in such bullshit. The more and more these talking heads, these political pundits that are propped up and put in these positions of mass media communications, I mean, these various forms, the more and more they push this democracy shit, the more and more the state's henchmen, the arm, or whatever you want to refer to them, sometimes in your own way due to your experience with what referred to as the police, that some of referred to as the pig, in the political context in a virtual irreconcilable relationship with one group of people in a pitch battle against the whims of the state machine, the state, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. We believe that along with some other revolutionary brothers and sisters, when a minority, we believe that this is the best way to sum up what the state is, how to define it. We believe that those four go hand in glove to keep the structure intact, and each one of them play a specific role that goes into the upkeep of this so-called system. I've said before, it's sort of like gumbo, or it's like gumbo to give those who are maybe the novice or the late person or the average Joe and Joanne to get them to understand the basics. It's like gumbo, you know, all the different ingredients. What would gumbo be without crabs? You know, what would gumbo be without shrimp? You know, unless there's a particular type of gumbo such as okra gumbo. But what would that gumbo be, again, without the usual ingredients that go into the makeup of gumbo? It's like having gumbo without shrimp. It's like having gumbo without crabs, which is unusual. And so it would be unusual to discount the police. It would be unusual to discount the businessman and the structured things. So always like to try to paint a basic, clear picture in the beginning, using certain terms that we see in the political sense, contrary to all the sweeping orthodox vernacular that people have been caught up in this Alice in Wonderland, you know, type of bubble, world of fiction, these utopian ideals of freedom, those who have put a monopoly on what freedom is, as opposed to what liberation is. Liberation is the liberating of one group of people or a specific group of people from out and underneath its lowly condition that it finds itself. who are those who are at the top who exploit on the daily basis in terms of race, in terms of class, in terms of labor, those who control the means of production, who dominate that sector in the structure of things, the so-called market, which constantly beats and cheats the average Joe and Joanne person that is on paper, considered to be employed, or having a job. Some of us rebelliously refer to the job as the plantation. We refer to the job as a plantation because, in essence, the relationship is still one and the same. White male rule as opposed to a black-dominated society, or not society, but a black-dominated ethnic group, which, of course, along with that goes class issues, which are the antagonistic forces between groups who disagree with one another due to a master-slave relationship. And so a part of that contradiction is this me, my, and I thing, me, my, and I, which is the wrong move. Huey P. Newton, one of the founders of the Black Panther Party, or the chief founder and architect of the Black Panther Party, had said a long time ago that this me, mine, I think is the wrong move on the part of black people, which would make them vulnerable, even more vulnerable to the state. And so we want to, hopefully we can go into it and you know, paint a good vivid picture, because some of us have gotten so stuck into it that some of us may be irretrievable. And we consider that as being the casualty in a larger battle, in a larger war against our collective immortal enemies, who again push this democracy thing not only here in the snakes, but try to transport it around the world. And we've seen that it's been nothing but a disaster everywhere Anglo-American democracy has touched down. What do I mean by Anglo-American democracy? It just simply means a combination of the two leading states, the United States of America and Great Britain. The British Isles, which would include, you know, Ireland and Scotland and so forth, in what is today referred to as Western Europe. And the two leading countries that push this bullshit democracy around the world, which has caused nothing but mayhem. There may be one or two who is listening who may disagree, and their defense or their rebuttal would be this notion about how capitalism has brought people out of poverty, have brought people into the space age, have advanced so-called civilization. You know, what they mean by the developed world, the developed nations, who supposedly get together in some benevolent, well-meaning body to help lift those of us who are still stuck in the developing stage, from primitivism to the developing stage to being a developed country. And so what they tend to do is to try to use one or two countries as examples. For instance, India, which has one of the fastest growing economies, you know, on the planet, and so forth, Brazil and whatnot. But let's not be fooled. There are certain strategic platforms or tactics that are carried out that, you know, lulls the people to sleep. And this tactic, we probably won't be able to say it enough so much until the people can become familiarized with it, as black people have become familiarized with the word gentrification, due to the disastrous effects that it's had on black people in these occupied colonies, which are no more, no less than reoccupied colonies on a much more sophisticated plane. In other words, the recolonizing of people have already been colonized, not only physically, but colonized mentally, which is what we mean when we say nigger. When one acts out and carries out what would appear the destructive ways internally, the so-called nigger mentality and whatnot. All of these are social constructs based off the system of capitalism, which is designed only for those who at the top, and particularly the white ruling class, and the much larger sector, which acts or serves as a buffer, the white middle class, and those blacks who have been allowed access to material comfort in order to fit into this class. And they become, in essence, also willing accomplices. There are some who are now starting to feel the crunch themselves as the news has gotten out that the middle class is now under attack. And so there are those now in the middle class who will become unwilling accomplices due to the situation that has changed now that the cancer is touching them. Whereas before it was only touching poor people, in terms of my people, African people of African descent who have been next to the so-called Native American, the most dominated, exploited, raped, and so forth group that exists today in this country. And so we keep driving this point home, or we'll keep driving this point home until we can conquer this me, mine, I thing, which is the wrong move. When the waters are calm, everything is me, mine, I. When the shits get hot, all of a sudden it's we and us, and what are we going to do? Such as, for instance, Oprah Winfrey, as a result of the George Floyd phenomenon, pushed her into a position where she was forced to come out from her little hole and start pushing this we shit. The audacity and the nerve to do a segment being one of the owners of a media platform and gathering certain new age black intellectuals and say, what do we want? What are our demands? Those demands have been laid out. Those demands have been laid out 60 years ago, close to 60 years ago, or what have you, by the Black Panther Party, which was founded in Oakland, California in the fall of 1966, in the month of October, by Huey P. Newton, who took the position of the National Minister of Defense, and Bobby Seale, who took on the position of the National Chairman of the Black Panther Party. Those demands were laid out in the 10-point program that the Black Panther Party had devised as a result of the conditioning, as a result of the careful, critical analysis and look at the situation that the people of African descent had found themselves in then, in the 60s, and found themselves then, and they find themselves continuously today. Regardless of the few concessions that have been handed out to black people on paper in some form or fashion of a law, mandate, act, which seems to have lured black people to sleep collectively while in these occupied colonies. And again, we use these terms, these labels, these classifications on purpose for a purpose. And this is the Europeans, the Anglo-American-led establishment, these capitalists, used towards non-whites, such as savages, to justify the treatment of non-whites around the world, and particularly here, when they had confiscated by force, by the force of violence or the violence of force, which was their philosophy, a means to an end. And when the so-called Indians had made up their minds and decided after all the options of peace, of diplomacy had failed due to these attempts falling on deaf ears, that they were left with no choice but to try to recover what was taken from them through the force of violence. And so therefore the Europeans had come up with the neat classification, the terminology of savages, to you know, create an atmosphere where they would be the victims, that they would be the good guys who were fighting these terrible cannibalistic forces. And of course, Hollywood, the visual wing of the state, did its part of making these cowboys and Indian movies. So just a clear example of the serious nature of classifications and terminologies that we have come to understand. And of course, certain, you know, forces in the 60s were very instrumental in getting us, those of us today who are the present revolutionary forces, within the jurisdiction of the snakes. And so we are in line with this type of relationship, a relationship that has been forced to reveal itself in classifications. And so the Black Panther Party had sized up the conditions, you know, the state and whatnot, and that in order to alleviate these problems, that Black people would have to understand that, that me, my, and I shit was the wrong move, and that me, my, and I shit could never get Black people anywhere collectively because of me, my, I, and me, my, and I, and me, my, and I had become so detrimental, so ingrained in our mind, in our brain computer, due to the colonization of our minds by the colonizer, who on one end would plant this type of mentality, while on the other end practice a collectivist strategy to keep themselves on the top, to keep themselves as the dominant group, the dominant white group, white ruling class group, which of course comes into contradistinction with the whites themselves collectively. That is a whole other can of worms that the whites who are dissatisfied, who have become disaffected, for them to hash out. And we understand that historically too, that they had, that debt in itself has led to revolutionary cataclysms on the part of the contradictions between those who are received, who are considered to be the haves, as opposed to those who are considered to be the have-nots. Even as far back as Greece, Rome, you know, these terminologies that the wealthy whites had bestowed upon themselves, such as the patrician class, you know, similar, you know, basically it's like the name Patricia, the patrician class, as opposed to the serfs, who, or at, you know, were at the bottom, trying to come up the best way they know how. So this is the relationship. And even in those times with the Romans, you know, the Romans had their Spartacus, and Spartacus was able to galvanize the poor white Romans, the slave class, while at the same time there was internal contradictions that threw the Roman Empire into a crisis, which we see today, that America is the modern-day Rome, which has thrown itself into a crisis, and therefore this cancer is eating at its own leg. There are those of us who work to speed it up. This may be problematic to a lot of people, even black people. You know, there are those of us who would just like for the idea to be education, 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 you know, for the ideas for of it to be going to college and receiving and higher education, making something of oneself, to be successful in life, in order to be able to enjoy the trappings of life. And they don't call it the trappings of life for nothing. That is something that never really occurred to me as a teenager or as a young adult. It took me a few ticks to really understand, you know, this phrase, you know, the trappings of life. And it sort of recalls today what they call trap music, the trap culture, which I believe is the nucleus is Atlanta, particular type of culture that has become negligible, if you will, amongst a black people, the segment of black America that's trapped into the system of things and that part of the snakes. It could be used as a good example, you know, the me, my, and I thing. And so the struggle basically is geared towards that. There's, you know, there's these facets of the struggle. Some may be under the notion that the struggle is for civil rights or the continual preservation of these civil rights, or that the struggle is somehow based on equal justice, or that the struggle is somehow based on equality, in particular the equality of women in the labor force, in the so-called white-collar world, equal treatment. Even in sports, you know, the equal exposure of the WNBA that the NBA receives, and so forth. And so these things that have been generally pushed as the struggle are but small planks, or they're sometimes they miss the mark. In terms of what the struggle is really about. This struggle is really about transforming the minds of black people. The struggle is about raising the political consciousness of black people collectively, which in essence, I'm trying to say this, with police terror in mind, you know, heightening the political awareness, the political consciousness of black people collectively. We can boil this down to, or narrow it down rather, or no disrespect to sisters, but narrow it down to those who police terror affects the most, which would be black men. Whether a specific age range may be up for debate or whatever, discussion. But to narrow it down to police terror and black men, therefore, having to heighten their political conscience to understand the nature of police terror. Ultimately, times we're given this sort of synthetic understanding of police terror. One of the things is our minds being lobotomized, socialized, which in essence has caused us, you know, black men to sort of let their guards down. And that was the selection of Barack Obama as president. And I said selected. No, I didn't say elected. I said selected. This is not personal. This is not something. I understand the sensitivity of somebody, you know, being critical of Barack Obama or talking about my president. That's my president because he looked like me. I'm black. He's black, and so forth. Artist out of Atlanta, I believe his name is Young Jeezy or something like that. I heard a song, one of his songs, and something about he got on this thing about if these forces decide that they want to harm him, according to him, he used the word we. He didn't say I'm riding. He said we riding. If somebody fucked with his president, you know, and he said we ride. And I find that as a heck of a stretch, in a sense of looking at it from a revolutionary standpoint. And this is one of the this is an example of heightening your political consciousness, seeing that someone from the streets or from a community that has been cast to decadence, left out of the the pie, or getting a piece of the pie, could share such sentiments for someone who belongs to unseen forces. These unseen forces who made it possible for him to become the person that he's become today, including his wife. And so to share a sentiment for someone who doesn't share reciprocity or equal sentiments, that if some forces fucked with Young Jeezy, then Obama would be willing to ride for him. Or we, or whoever that we would be willing to come and show some reciprocity towards him. Now, there's a sort of subtleness, you know, the way people can think. And, you know, can raise the point of these things that Obama may have appeared to have done for black people, being a liberal, a Democrat. This is not new news. This is no new thing. Jimmy Carter did it. He was a Democrat. You know, Bill Clinton did it. He was a Democrat. He did it two times. So this is no new thing. This is no new thing. As a matter of fact, at one point, black people were courting the Republicans, and that the Dixiecrats were whistling Dixie. You know, these court cases, these famous court cases that had went on the side of the Dixiecrats to keep black people in the position that they had found themselves after Reconstruction. You know, but it's rather ironic that, you know, the brother would share such sentiments and say, we. I would tend to think that there's something there that as a result shows his potential to transfer those sentiments to a much larger venue or expand it out in a much expansive way and make that work for the streets. We understand people's political parts. We understand the vital importance of what is referred to as the streets. The streets in its own way has a sort of we philosophy. But at the same time, there's this sinister me, my, and I thing also that exists. And of course, this is due to an improper understanding, an improper political education on their part. What we say is, learn to say is that there's two types of pandas. The politicized and there's the unpoliticized. And those who are politicized pandas would dare to struggle, dare to win. And they would struggle in transforming the me, my, and I on the streets, which we can say is blind rage, and transform that into a we, which in essence would be conscious power, blind rage into conscious power. Something Chuck D had said in one of his songs, a solo album, where he talks about can you kill the nigga in you? You know, being himself the anti-nigga machine. So he said that there's spineless music for the spineless masses. You know, one who is spineless, therefore one who is about me, my, and I. He will rob you. Rape you even whenever he gets the chance, because it's all about himself until he runs up against one of the Gestapo army members of the first line of defense referred to as the police, and his situation changes drastically. And so due to that circumstance, and unfortunately, this is what will take place for some of us, because this is a hardcore society. We don't live in a benevolent society. We live in a society that every day teaches us that this is a concrete jungle, if you will. The material conditions that create this concrete jungle. concrete reality, hardcore reality that drives this me, mine, I think. No. And that's just one segment of so-called Black America. You know, we haven't gotten to the higher echelon of the me, mine, I, which is just as dangerous, which is just as counter-revolutionary, which is just as counterproductive in the face of Black liberation. The Black Liberation Movement, there was a Black Liberation Army. And this is the history of Black people collectively in this country. You say Black Liberation Army, the state, its listening ears, who are always listening, they tend to think some type of relationship or some type of rebirth in a sense, you know. But there's never a problem quoting Patrick Henry. Recently watching on the one of the channels, there's this channel that shows old movies, you know. And this particular movie was about Patrick Henry's famous address that when he spoke to the establishment, who at the time were crying wolf, who at the time were crying about the unfair treatment that they had been receiving from the so-called British crown. You know, their lord and master, King George. And so Patrick Henry, in the spirit of 76, or in the spirit that led to the spirit of 76, was compelled, motivated even, to get up before the establishment, those who were the head, and gave this speech. And at the end of this speech, of which he received a round of applause, a standing ovation, the whooping and hollering, the end of this speech, it said, "Give me liberty or give me death." So that is a beautiful thing for these Americans, for those Americans. But it didn't mean shit to those of us, our ancestors who were on the plantation. We didn't receive one red cent for all the labor that they poured into the soil that produced this capitalist structure, the capitalist system that has risen to become the present-day Rome, the empire, the imperial forces. And there was no me, mine, I, even though Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me debt." And he said it that way to set an example that we can get this yoke from around our necks. They received results. They achieved results as the worst form of hypocrites on the planet. The Chinese, in their struggle against imperialism, the imperial forces, particularly the Japanese, who at the time wanted to take part in the division of the spoils, therefore recognizing that the British, the French, and soon to be Americans were snatching for themselves colonies, that the Japanese had confiscated the land to the west of them, referred to as China. And so the Chinese people found themselves under the same condition. And they gave up that I, my, me shit because they eventually realized that it was the wrong move and that they could never get, as a matter of fact, not even the first base. And if so, by some type of a miracle even, that they could get to first base. And that as far as they were ever going to get until they realized that the I, my, me shit had to go. So the Chinese developed their revolutionary culture that was built around a capital W with an E right next side of it, which spells the word we. And the I took a back seat to those two capital letters, so much so that whenever they put I, it was always the small letter I. And this became part of their revolutionary psyche. That was the beginning of the end of Japanese imperialism. The Chinese were so proficient that understanding the effects of propaganda, that the Chinese began to make slogans, artwork, you know, posters and pictures and billboards that always had stressed, we come first, I come second. That I had gave up me, my, and myself for the greater good for us and we. And that was the only way that they were going to conquer their imperial adversaries, who in essence looked just like them. You know, the old notion about the Chinese eye. You know, the slant-eyed Chinese. But that's as far as they went with that. And so the Japanese began to realize that they could no longer hold sway in China. And it was Sun Yat-sen who in the early 20th century, as a matter of fact, began to build this revolutionary culture. And this revolutionary culture had been passed or perfected by Chairman Mao Zedong, Mao Zedong. Some of us say Mao Zedong. And Chairman Mao wrote, articulated this revolutionary culture, the position of the peasant who were at the bottom, their lowly state. It sized up the imperial ambitions of the Japanese. He also had sized up the different elements within Chinese society. And based on that, he was able to weld them together, gel them together. And of course, it didn't come without sacrifice. So the Chinese were able to transform their lot of 450 million to 500 million people and transform their lot from decadence, barbarism, to liberation. Of course, led to economic prowess in the future. This is what you see in China today under the communist form of governmental system. The capitalists always get a hard on whenever the Chinese are the subject. They've had the fastest growing economy to our understanding on the planet. And so they conquered that Nehemiah. The contradiction, if you will. And we give these examples because there's no exception to the rule here. There are some black people who want to be the exception to it. No. So much so that some of us believe that we are highly favored by the Lord over others. And they think so because they haven't stolen so much as a pack of annihilators. And that they go to the church every Sunday. Or those who go to the temple or the mosque or what have you. And yet, they're lords and masters. What collectivists. Their lords and masters today, had they been living, would be referred to as social collectivists. But others have heard and understand as socialists. Communal way of life, as opposed to me, mine, I. Because it wouldn't have gotten them anywhere. As a matter of fact, the opposition that the biblical Jesus showed towards Caesar made him, in essence, a revolutionary. The future transformation from one lowly state into a higher state. A kingdom to come, but not without sacrifices. And so either way, you know, we can, you know, chop this thing up. Either way we can look at it, we can clearly see across the board. But, you know, as I've said, the struggle, you know, against the colonized mind. And we must keep struggling, you know, daily, even though we all as individuals have personal or could have personal challenges. And again, those personal challenges are all predicated on something. You know, there are those in the 60s, the 50s, who sacrificed their lives you know, for those who are now 50, you know, in the 50s, the 60s, you know? And we're not for those individuals who gave up that me, mine, I shit in favor of the collective. And then the few trinkets that we have now would not have been possible. So there's been two to three generations that have passed. No sense. No. Counting the child that is being born right now as we speak. And at some point that child has to grow up. The child has to crawl before he or she walks and develop a relationship, a contract with another human being who looks just like him or her and become part of the community. Become part of the communal village, play his or her role within that society. And so therefore, there's no me, mine, I. Beyond getting sick personally, having to eat, having to use the restroom facility, and so forth. But there's a collective relationship that is automatic. And so when a problem arises, that collective relationship has to rise to the occasion to alleviate that problem. There's no exceptions here. Now, you know, been talking about one segment of Black America, you know, the street sector. Well, there are those who are considered themselves of a higher class, a higher echelon, so much so that even their speech pattern is considered important. You know, speaking the Queen's English or the King's English or what have you. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle. In order to place oneself in a position of kind of this word that escapes me, but you know this perception of one who speaks well automatically entails one who is intelligent, you know, so forth. Is that always true? And how do we measure that intelligence? There's a lot of me, my, and I from that perspective. These different forces that are operating within us as a collective group. No. Some of these, again, these terminologies, these names are not familiar to a lot of us. And of course, you know, some of them are. You know, I spoke about Oprah Winfrey briefly as an example. You know, but, you know, those who seek to establish themselves in entertainment, sports, on the big screen, and whatnot, you know, become the wealthy entrepreneur even. You know, their I, my, me is just as detrimental to our liberation struggle as the I, my, me on the streets. when those who are at the bottom come under attack by alien forces. For instance, the real estate sector of the state, or the real estate wing of the state, or the land broker wing of the state, who recycle white supremacy in a unique way, which is legal, referred to as gentrification. And so when those who are at the lower sector come under attack, there's no response from those who are in the higher sector, because they're drunk of I, my, and me when it's convenient, till the shit hits the fan. And then that wheel light switch on their frontal lobe lights up in the brain, and it becomes we and us. Now, there's a certain subtleness to this. Subtleness to it is that the I, my, me at the top figure in their minds, they have wealth, they have capital, they have money. Whereas the I, my, me at the bottom, those who are trying to call the niggas. And in their subconscious of the I, my, me at the top, they see a huge potential destructive force. And this is what Huey P. Newton pointed out 50 years ago, 50-something years ago, where he talked about the potential power and the galvanizing of the people who could be potential destructive force. It's sort of like the slogan in the hood, as a matter of fact. You know, some of us have heard of I buy, you fly, or I fly, you buy. No. And that is the subtleness to it when the shit hits the fan. But we say later for that. There are those who get involved with the war against AIDS, which is no more, no less than war, biological warfare against black and brown people. And then unfortunately, those who enter this so-called war against AIDS, a lot of times have lost a loved one to AIDS. Whereas before, that loved one was just fine. There was no interest in joining the war against AIDS, because it was I, my, and me. And my family, my children, and so forth. And of course, anyone with an ounce of sense can understand when a man says my children, or a sister says my children. But again, those in the 60s gave up themselves so that man's children, who didn't do shit in the struggle, could be able to enter a nice school where the white kids had all the material resources. Where that black woman's children can be able to receive treatment at the nice hygiene medical facility where the white children go when they get sick. So later for that. Frederick Douglass had said a long time ago, and I've said this before too, that black people weren't ran without thunk. And that something's going down, everybody's standing around looking at which one's going to take. It is interesting that in the game of basketball, 5-on-5. When one team has the ball and the other team, so-called, steals the ball and heads in the opposite direction, and it's three of them and one of him. And so what does the one do? He realizes that he's outnumbered 3-on-1, but yet he's still conscious of the fact that the ball has to enter the hoop. And so what does he do? He set himself in a position to take a what? A charge. He gave himself up for the team under certain conditions that went out of the window. And this is what black people collectively are going to have to understand. And at some point, we're going to have to take the same charge. And ain't no telling which one it's going to be. Because the situation arose just like it was unexpectedly on one end of that court. When they was passing that ball around, it just so happened that the opposing team stole the ball. And this is what we mean by making the sacrifice. There are those who understand the slogan about be the change that you seek. And those at the top push those slogans in the abstract. And yet, when it comes to we, what does that mean? That we more times than not comes down to some athlete who has signed a $100 million contract with this football team, a $100 million contract with a sneaker company. Because that sneaker company has some genius inside of its corporation that sits in a design room trying to conjure up a design, catchy slogan and phrase for this star athlete who has a $100 million contract with this team. And so that star athlete is in mind for the sole purpose of the accumulation of capital, which means that he is cannon fodder, which means he is no more, no less than a material asset from which they can reap benefits. And as a result of that, he becomes intoxicated with I, my, me. Yet, I, my, me can't make I, my, me rich without a we. So therefore, this I, my, me is put up in a very, very cunning way, if you will, for the sole purpose of inducing the rest of us to support him by giving up X amount of funds that is obtained in more than one way. And there, of course, ain't but two ways that one can obtain those funds to be able to afford a pair of Air Jordans. Legally or illegally. Jordan practices I, my, me philosophy. He depends on a we. I, my, me wealthy. And yet, when that we comes under attack in Chicago, and I, my, and me is nowhere to be found. And so we say later for that shit that we should treat I, my, and me the same way that we should feel about David Duke, even though he's white. Or even though that I, my, me happens to be black, genetically black. In ancient Kemet, ancient Africa, there was a way of life referred to as something like Maya, a Mayet. It was a way of life based on seven laws. And these seven laws, one of those seven laws is reciprocity. Because without reciprocity, you have nothing. Without reciprocity, you have an imbalance between two people. An imbalance between two groups of people. An imbalance between two villages of people. An imbalance between two states of people. And that imbalance naturally leads to static conditions, a static relationship, which eventually comes to pass or reaches a climax until one or the other either keeps dominating or liberates himself or herself or that nation or that state from its condition. Because one state was about I, mine, me. And particularly, for an example, the United Snakes of America. The United Snakes preaches all that democracy shit all around the world. And uses the war on terror as an excuse to transport democracy around the world. For the sole purpose of what they refer to as American interests. And exactly what do they mean by American interests? A particular class that reaps the collective benefits because it was about I, my, and me on America's part. And if it couldn't be gotten peacefully, then it is to be gotten violently. What is today is referred to as scientific violence. There was never any intentions on America going to Iraq and liberating anybody and bringing democracy to Iraq. There were never any intentions of America going to Libya and ousting a so-called dictator to liberate the people of Libya, bringing democracy to Libya. Never any intentions of going to Afghanistan and bringing democracy to the Afghan people to rescue them from the so-called Taliban, to rescue them from the so-called Mujahideen. Which was America's own creation under what's referred to as Islamic fundamentalism for the sole purpose of natural resources in that part of Asia. Because it was all about I, mine, me. And that's on an international scale as an example of the treacherousness of I, mine, me. Those who at the bottom of that pyramid lost their lives for a few at the top. Some came back half alive, missing an arm, missing a leg, missing both legs, because they got caught up in the landmine. Some of them have come back so fucked up that they need therapy. that every day several persons who have been in these theaters of so-called bringing democracy to the third world are offering themselves every day. So later, for the eye, mind, knee. Those who are at the top, who've been allowed access to this material luxury. We say you're with us or you're against us. There ain't no middle ground unless you know what you're doing. If you know how to play chess, play chess. There will be those of us who recognize that you are. And we don't need to name no names. But however, when the people come under attack, there is no excuse not to be there. When O.J. Simpson came under, black women rushed to his side. Even though he left a strong, beautiful black woman behind for a white woman. And there are those of us who believe that OJ did the shit. And the comedian Paul Mooney, as he said, yeah, he did it. And the reason why they can't find the knife is because he hit it where he hit the Heisman Trophy. But the point is that black women fell into some wee shit and they went running to the side of a nigga who was about I, mind, me. And it's only later O.J. Simpson began to receive some type of political consciousness under the guidance of a brother named, an elder named Steve Coakley. And these are unfortunate circumstances. And so we say if there's no reciprocity on the part of these big timers at these entertainers, big screen actors and actresses. If there's no reciprocity, we say the hell with it. Because there's too many niggas for a few of us to be trying to get into the Hamptons. And there's too many of us to be trying to get degrees from college. And because one hasn't went to college or didn't even make it through college doesn't mean he or she is a failure. There are more than one way to skin a cat. And in a democracy, if this was truly a democracy, there wouldn't be this segregation in the field of labor. This maligning of people, herding people into certain categories in order to achieve a means to an end. And so it's only collectively that when we have gotten beyond the sick disease of our mind, meat, only through that we can make real progress. Not this synthetic imagery of freedom, because there's too many niggas for that. And even in that sense, some of the niggas got to go. These forces that exist in our midst that remain quiet. Even some of these certain police terror cases where brothers have been executed or lynched, high-tech lynching. And what we mean by lynching is the non-use of a weapon to lynch a black man. And what we mean by execution is the use of what they call deadly force through the pistol. And both declared as justifiable homicide. And even in some of these cases, the most obvious cases, such as the Ronald Green case, there's been no outcry all across the board. And as my comrade, our Minister of Defense, says, or has said recently about a national response. And that national response has to cut across all of this bullshit about who's famous and who's rich and who's not, who's on the street corner, and so forth. Now, let me say this. We also have to understand that this IME is also affected by the reality of those who have been allowed access to material luxury through these several forms of money getting. In the sense, they have been shielded from the daily things that those of us who are at the bottom are subjected to. But that doesn't make them infallible. Every now and again, the state reminds those who are at the top, they're still niggas too. Don King, who amassed millions of dollars in the world of boxing, stated a long time ago in a political commentary to one of the persons who helped broadcast one of the boxing matches. Don King said, if you're rich, then you just a rich nigga. If you're educated, then you're just an educated nigga. And if you're poor, then you're just a poor nigga. And he put it in perspective. Because in his subconscious, he realized the same thing that we have talked about tonight. That at some point, no matter what you are, you can be victimized too. But however, there's less of a chance for those who have been shielded from the rest of us to end up in the chokehold on the side of a road. As a star running back, Dallas Cowboys. As the leading scorer in the NBA for the Golden State Warriors. Or as the home run king of Major League Baseball for the New York Yankees. Or in the box office smash that grossed $200 million in the first week. As the winner, the black winner of an Oscar for a Klan in the movie called Driving Miss Daisy. Or Monsters Ball. Or Training Day. And so therefore, it's I am I me. It's a cancer. But there will come a time when their status and all of their possessions will be worthless. And the signs are everywhere. They're all around us. And they're most noticeable at the gas pump, at the cash register. They're most noticeable. And as I said earlier, the middle class have now come under attack. And that is due to the crisis that the capitalists find themselves. And so they're scurrying to try to bring some alleviation to it. Not at the gas pump, but in the form of an electric vehicle, what they refer to as fracking, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents when it comes to oil production. In the meantime, the people are made to foot the bill. And so it gets to a point where the pressure breaks the water pipe, that people can no longer sustain the pressure until it pushes them over the top. And that is the most dangerous form of we that even the elite blacks fear also. And so at some point, it's almost like saying that if they find out Jesus was coming back this weekend, they'd be out there handing out $100 bills under the bridge, those of us who go and feed the people under the bridge. But those of us who do clothing drives, so the people who are out in these mean streets can have something on their backs to keep them warm in wintertime. America is the last bastion. And that I, my, me has to run out at some point. We would just love to speed it up. But if you dare to shove, you dare to win. And that is the key. And so we must keep forging ahead, those of us who give a damn. And we have got to separate those who have bullshitted us for the longest. We've got to take back the narrative. Earlier, I spoke of an entity in within our midst. We know it as the Boule. And there's this philosophy that runs rampant in their psychology, and it's called doing for self. And that is more than just a natural phenomenon. It has a material aspect to it also. And to do for self, which will place you in their midst, in their bag. Of course, we are all after the bag. Matter of fact, there's a hour drama that comes on television called The Dirty Black Bat. There goes that negative connotation of the color black again. And that in itself is a social psychology that has lent to this conditioning of I, mine, me. Of course, not without, and as I said, you know, the occupied colonies that black people collectively find ourselves in, attached to. Attached by the hip to something that is part and parcel of the capitalist scheme. And there was no way we can have any conversation or any dialogue about the hood, what black people in the hood ain't doing, or what black people in the hood go through, or what they need to be doing, and so forth. Or the conditions in the hood, so forth, without entering into the conversation, the capitalist scheme of things. I don't need to make excuses. I don't need to even try to persuade you by saying the word capitalism. It has never been the friend of black and brown people. And if there's anybody on this earth that can show us different, please do so. I mind me. We're going to have to really understand that shit as other groups understand it, and they practice a form of nationalism. Form of nationalism. The East Asians, whether they're Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, the so-called Arabs, from the so-called Middle East, the tiny segment of the white population that refers to itself as Jewish. They practice what's called Jewish nationalism. And that Jewish nationalism is not predicated on the I, mine, me philosophy. It is predicated on group survival, group solidarity. And for some reason, black people are stuck in integration. We don't have to beat our brains out over integrating. We've integrated with everybody naturally. So that's not even up for discussion. What's up for discussion is black people having the wherewithal to practice some form of nationalism too, or we will continue to be the doormat of the other groups, sitting ducks. So on that note, we in. And look forward to next week, another segment of In Defense of the People Radio brought to you by the People's Political Party. I'm your host, Brother Nat Turner, National Check. My co-host, Brother Motherland, our National Minister of Defense, and our National Minister of Communication on Ones and Twos, the Assault Technician, Sister Imane Oshun. And be back with us next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, as we keep moving forward. And we say black power to black people in particular, and power to the people, because people should always have power. And your whole rule. The real shit, the real freedom. We out of here.
You're quite hostile.
I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been persecuted.
With spite, I hold the mic to fight. With force, I keep it away, of course. And I'm keeping you from sleeping. And on the stage, I raise and I'm rolling. And to the poor, I pour in all my metaphors. I'm not bluffing, it's nothing that we ain't did before. We played the stage, the points made. You consider it done by the prophets of rage.
What the people say?
Yo, Griff, you and us, one step, you get to the east side. We got to kick it for the east side,
G. I roll with the punches so I survive. So try to rock, cause it keeps the crowd alive. I'm not bowling, I'm just calling. But I'm past the days of yes, y'allin'. I wiggle round, around, I pump, you jump up. Hear my words, my verbs, they get
goosed up, goosed up.
I've been around a while, you can't describe my sound. Clear the way for the prophets of rage. What the people say?
Hey, yo, Griff, we got to get to my man Ralph.
Until I got feeling,
feeling.
If it's peace, at least cause I want it.
Want
I want it,
it
so bad,
so
that
bad.
I'm starving.
Starving.
I'm like Garvey, but can you feed me? If I said I'm like Nat, leave me the hell alone.
Hell
if you don't think I'm a brother, then check my chromosome. And then you check the stage, I declare a new age.
Get down
for the prophets of rage.
Then you kick it like shit.
Okay, okay, come on.
You're needing. I like best of your proper. We have a reason why.